September the 3rd is now called to order. Please stand. Mr. Conrad, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Ms. Moore, would you please take roll call?
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio? Chair, Commissioner Custodio is excused. Commissioner Luzania?
Here.
Commissioner Luzania is attending by phone. Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Chair Hudson?
Here. This is the time now for public comment. This provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda. Is there anyone that wants to speak? Hearing none, we'll move forward.
Chair, we do have to wait about 60 minutes for anyone to call in if they're interested to call.
We will wait.
Oh, 60 seconds. Did I say 60?
60 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. 60 minutes.
It's not, the delay's not that.
Yeah, that's a little too long.
That's a little too long.
Yeah.
Okay. But we'll wait just a little bit here.
Yeah.
If someone wants to call in.
Ready to move on.
We have before us now, members of the Commission, minutes of the regular meeting of May the 21st, 2020. Any questions on those minutes? If not, do we have a recommendation from one of you for approval of those minutes?
I make a motion we approve the minutes.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
We have a second.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. We now have before us the public hearing. Item number two, consideration of environmental assessment number 2020-9 and conditional use permit application 2020-4. And both of these will be through the resolution number 2020-5. And the staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. Ms. Moore?
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Senior Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is a conditional use permit 2020-4 and environmental assessment number 2020-9, which pertains to adding or installing six antennas on the existing water tower at the City of Ridley Sports Park, which is located on the south side of East Dinuba Avenue between Tobu Avenue and Zumwalt Avenue. This is an elevation and site plan of the water tower that's 180 feet tall, and it's located at our sports park. There is existing antennas on the that are mounted on the existing safety rail at the top of the tower. And those were previously approved by the Planning Commission in 2015 through CUP 2015-4. The applicant at that time was Unwired Broadband, and they are currently providing wireless internet service to their private customer base, and they're also providing free access to the city of Reedley. The existing equipment located on the Sports Park Tower is a link or a leaf site to the wireless facility equipment that is on one of the Reedley Water Towers located downtown. So there is equipment on, there is an equipment from Unwired Broadband on this Sports Park Water Tower, as well as one of the water towers in downtown Reedley. And so, so proposed are six antennas to be mounted along the safety railing. As you can see on this slide, and on the site plan that's shown in the staff report, the black antennas shown there are what's existing, and the red are the six antennas that are to be added on there. And so the purpose for these additions to of equipment is to provide better service and more and to provide better service to more customers. It should be noted that there are some connection. The City of Reedley connections are that are being provided at no cost are for the fire station, community center, and Public Works Corporation Yard. And then there is a connection to the wastewater treatment plant as well. And then there's a backup connection for City Hall because we do have a fiber connection here, but that does provide backup support. Unwired provides backup support for us and its private customers. And the Unwired Broadband, in addition to the conditional use permit requirement, there is also a lease agreement between Unwired Broadband and the City Council. And so those agreements have been approved and entered into by the City Council in previous years as well. And so this would also require an amendment to that lease agreement. So as previously mentioned, the water tower is 180 feet tall. And the small picture of the water tower in the lower right-hand corner pretty much shows what the tower looks like from the ground, so you can barely see the existing antennas, nor would you be able to see the proposed antennas, so there is little aesthetic impact as a result of this project. And staff has determined that this project is exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15303 of the CEQA guidelines. And with that, staff's recommendation is to approve environmental assessment number 2020-9, determining that the CUP is exempt from CEQA. And staff recommends that the commission approve conditional use permit application number 2020-4, authorizing the installation of six Ubiquiti Horn 530 antennas on the existing water tower at the Reedley Sports Park. And both of these approvals or recommended approval is contained in resolution 2020-5. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Before the commissioners may jump in with any questions, I did just want to clarify that Ellen had notated that the agreement that we have with them would need to be amended as part of this. There is actually language existing in the agreement right now that would not require any adjustment be made to that agreement itself. It did state in the original agreement that they could propose additional infrastructure, but that it would need to go through the conditional use permit process. So just want to make sure that is understood. There is not any agreement that would be amended as the result of the Planning Commission's action tonight.
And that would be because
The existing agreement that we had with them already notated that if there were ever a need or a desire for additional infrastructure, that would have to be through the conditional use permit process or CUP amendment process, which we're going through tonight. So language to allow for the Planning Commission to take action for additional infrastructure was included in the original agreement.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Alan, I'm just concerned about all the infrastructure, the antennas and everything, and all the equipment that's going to go in here. And I got a feeling we're going to come back to this again with additional request, which is an issue for me. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that I was going to bring out, should we deny this and should the appeal fail, what is plan B for broadband?
Are they here? I'm not sure. No, they are not here this evening. They may be calling in, but I did not hear from them.
We do have Assistant City Manager Paul Malikian here as well, who has been the direct contact for the agreement on the agreement side. So please, Paul, speaking correctly, jump in and if it's a conversation that I hadn't been a party to. But my understanding would be that there would then be the need and the requirement for them to find infrastructure that, of course, would have the appropriate height for them to locate on. That type of infrastructure is in very, very short supply within the city of Reedley, so it would likely mean that they would need to get with a tower placement company in some fashion and be able to get a tower approved and then find sufficient capacity within that tower for them to go on.
Well, that was exactly my thinking as well, too, because we have two pieces of property that we can facilitate that. I'm just concerned with all the that we won't be able to accommodate or interference once we start expanding on the sports complex things. For example, will we have sufficient space for the expansion of the sports complex to include to facilitate the sports lighting, the water systems, the snack bars? And I know that there, Public Works will need accommodations in that tower itself. And I think we're a little short-sighted on this plan here. I think we need to work with them. I would like to see us work with them and erect those towers in two locations that I know that we own property of that wouldn't be that wouldn't interfere with anything. And actually, then they can do what they want, because I know darn well we're going to come back to this for some reason. They're going to want something else, and it may not be them. It may be AT&T. I'm also concerned about I'm not sure what PG&E is going to request. I saw verbiage in there about digging. I saw about possibly some structures that may be needed, and also very strict accommodations that we might need to make to them. And I sure didn't like that wording from PG&E. And then especially about the digging as well too, because there's gas lines in there. We will have gas lines in there. And so I'm just a little, I don't want this to turn into a tower like we have downtown in Reedley. And also our neighbors too, we've talked about them in the past, that really has really made their area look terrible in terms of aesthetics. So I think that's, I have some other stuff if we happen to bump into it also. But basically that's my stand on it.
Yeah. Rob, may I address a few of the comments? Mr. Perez and the other commissioners, my name is Paul Malikian. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time here with the mask. So I currently administer the contract for the city for unwired broadband. We've had a lease, actually two leases with them since the year 2015. They've been a very good partner to the city in that they're providing some vital backup internet connections for several of our facilities, as well as primary internet connections that we otherwise would not be able to have a internet connection to, such as our wastewater treatment plant. There is no Comcast service or Dish service or anything at the wastewater treatment plant, so they are the only internet connection out at the wastewater plant, as well as our city airport. That said, this equipment has been on the sports park tower since the year 2015. This would be a modification to that equipment. We did review this request in detail with the Water Division, John Arnellis, the Water System Supervisor, as well as our Public Works Director, Russ Robertson. They have no concerns about the space that the equipment currently takes or will take at the top of the tower. There's no plans for the city to increase its footprint of its own equipment for the SCADA system at the top of the towers. So as far as the room at the top, there's plenty of room for additional equipment should the city need it for public safety purposes or the water system. I will state that the primary reason for this request for the equipment modification is due to the pandemic. So they were doing fine with the equipment that was currently placed up there with their current customer base. But with everybody being shifting to working at home, schooling at home, the demand on their services, especially to our neighbors out in the nearby countryside to where there is no Comcast in the ground, this is their only way to get internet to school their children, to work from home, to be able to live in this new normal that we're currently in right now, unfortunately. So it is perhaps not palatable to be adding some additional equipment to the top, but we felt that it was a good way to be a good neighbor to our nearby residents outside of the city limits. There's also many customers within the city that would be serviced by these by this additional equipment as well. So
thank you, Paul.
I just think the aesthetics would later on, and can you guarantee me that there won't be additional additions to that?
From
whether
a
broadband or AT&T or any other service agent that might accommodate us also.
Correct.
Yeah, while we couldn't give you a guarantee that there would never be another request, but we could certainly guarantee that any such request would come before the Planning Commission for consideration at that time. And I do think it is important to note that the aesthetic impact, because of the sheer size, not only the height, but also the diameter of the water tower, the antennas that we're talking about, when you're on the ground, these antennas cannot be seen. The only two antennas that you can barely see on there are not actually associated with this conditional use permit. In fact, those are city towers and associated with our public safety.
Until you start taking pictures of it and showing the community our beautiful tower, then you'll probably be able to see them in picture. But okay.
Mr. Malikian, a couple questions along the lines of what was just discussed. This is 180 feet tall, right?
Correct.
A tower, if we were to build a tower separate someplace, how tall would that be normally?
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
Those typically range between 120 and 150 feet.
Okay.
The city has a option contract with a tower developer. There's two major tower developers in the United States. One is SBA Towers, and they currently hold an option to develop a tower at the courtyard, the city courtyard at the south end of I Street. However, they have yet to make a business case for enough customers to be able to build that tower. We've been working with them, but there's not enough wireless providers in the area yet that make that business case for them. So it's such as what Rob Terry was stating, there is a definite lack of adequate tower space. And in fact, the high school is taking down that tower at the high school is owned by the Fresno County Office of Education. That tower is coming down very soon, and we're hoping that the county can build their tower at the old county site so that we can place our public safety antennas there, because there's such a lack of space here.
Yeah. The devices, I'm going to call them devices, the items that are going to be expanded or added to on top, what percent does that represent compared to what's already there? Was it an increase maybe of just the devices, not the capacity, but the device themselves? 50%, 25%, 10%?
It would be
just roughly 50.
Just over 50.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual capacity, that the service that it would provide, how much expansion percentage wise is it going to create?
Our understanding and conversations that we'd had with them was that could near double capacity, because it is an improved technology, of course. That technology as you know, improves very, very rapidly. And they have actually had updates even to the items that were originally approved as far as upgrades to that technology, and have made upgrades within the existing approved footprint that they already had. So we will continue to see that. But with this add that they have here, it would near double the capacity.
And does that, obviously it improves, but are there places around town that just don't have it, now will have it, or will it be just a better service?
It'll be both. Yeah, both. We'll see. We'll certainly see both, as well as people that may have a Reedley address, but they don't live within the incorporated city limits of Reedley, and even Dinuba, same type of thing. You will see customers that this will allow for a much better reach.
They can have access to it.
Access to internet where they may not have it right now, or it may not be as secure right now.
So have you worked with the city, the school system on this issue? Does it help them?
You know, that's a very good question, Mr. Hudson. The school district has a need to place some equipment on a tower somewhere in town, mm-hmm. and they've reached out with a request to do so, to actually place equipment on the water towers. It's not been a formal request yet. It was just a sort of an initial, could we possibly add equipment on the tower? Obviously, would have to go through the CUP process, just like here tonight. However, they are in the process of working with Unwire to potentially utilize the existing equipment to be able to get the communication they need, perhaps without adding additional equipment. So that's still ongoing, and I don't know the answer to that right now. Just as a point of clarification, we talked about the internet connections that Unwired provides to the city facilities. They also pay monthly rent in that facility of approximately $1,200 per month. That will be going up 10% in November. So that's part of the lease agreement, as it's up to 15 years. So they're going into their second five-year term. So that revenue does go into the Water Enterprise Fund to offset the cost of maintaining those towers, which helps our ratepayers and our water rates. So it's not a lot of money compared to the overall bill to maintain those towers, but it does help.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So are we, in terms of long-term vision, are we considering a tower down the road?
As far as the city,
considering one? In conjunction with some of the schools and other partners that we might have in our community that would benefit from this.
Yeah, there's actually multiple discussions that have happened with that. The one that's on the high school site right now that's owned by the Fresno County Office of Education, with their relocation there, the multiple agencies that utilize space on that tower have been in continual conversations about when that is relocated, how the partnership can continue to work for each one of those agencies to be engaged there. That all depends, of course, upon the placement of where ultimately it ends up being, whether or not they then those agencies have the appropriate amount of coverage needed if that location would work for them. And as Paul had mentioned, the option that we have with SBA towers as well, the biggest difference that we would have with that one, of course, is that they are a tower building company. So lease payments and whatnot would then, of course, go to them as opposed to coming to the city if it were being on an existing city facility that we can utilize space with.
The current tower at Reedley High School, would that serve as a tower? Is it tall enough?
I'm sorry, what was that, Paul?
Oh, no.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, they are permanently removing that one. So
right.
Even if someone tried to put something up there right now, it would be very short-lived.
No, I'm saying moving it. If we could move that.
Oh, the tower itself?
The tower itself.
From what we understand from the Fresno County Office of Education, they do not have interest in that because of its age, and they feel that it would be not only much safer, but much more cost-effective for them to actually go with a new tower.
Yeah, I think it's an age issue.
Yeah.
Who else could we partner with that besides Kings Canyon?
We're currently working with Fresno County, and it's in their planning stages currently to build a county-owned tower at the old county yard off of Manning Avenue, and the city would be able to co-locate its public safety equipment on that tower. We would be responsible for a portion of the annual maintenance costs, but that would be ideal from a city perspective because all of the costs of building the tower would be on the county. They would have the majority of the equipment on there, but the city would be able to co-locate. So we already have a That's the plan going forward. I don't know where it is through the CUP process. I don't think they've
It has not, because the county has not yet made their formal decision. Mm-hmm. And if it were to go, of course, in that yard as well, that is just outside of the city limits. So it wouldn't actually be an item that would come before our planning commission, only because it's just, it's in the county area outside of our city limits.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
Even though we'd still see it.
Yeah, we still see it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, yeah. the three spots that I was thinking of, you could see it too. But yeah. it would be where the fire department, where we own that thing next to that, and then also on Parlier and Buttonwill, we own that corner there as well too. And you would see it, but you could also see our tower too.
There's never going to be a situation where there's going to be zero aesthetic impact,
right.
But we do firmly believe that co-location where we can place them is not only the most efficient item, but especially with this tower, it does minimize as much as you can minimize an aesthetic impact because of the size of the infrastructure that they're looking for compared to the size of that tower and its height and its diameter. It mitigates as much of that as you can. But still, always will have an aesthetic impact, and unfortunately, that's just part of the wireless world. As our demand increases and increases all the time, we will simply just see more infrastructure.
And
needed.
It will.
Yeah.
Are we still growing about 3% a year, Paul?
Population
wise.
And we'll see another large jump here with the multiple residential developments that we have ongoing right now.
Yeah. That's close to about, 800 or 900 houses?
Yep, just under 1,000.
Time to start planning ahead.
That's it. Yeah,
that's what we're doing here.
Get ready for another general plan, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Commissioners?
Ellen, did that make your eye twitch?
Commissioners, are there any further questions, comments?
I have none, Mr. Chair.
I'd like now to open it up to the general public for comment, if anyone wants to comment on this issue. We need to wait
about a minute.
Okay, I'll wait for your high sign.
Yeah, I'll keep track of it.
Okay. 2A and 2B under public hearing are both combined into resolution number 2020-5, correct?
That's correct, Chair.
All right, so before us, Commissioners, is resolution number 2020-5. Do I hear a recommendation one way or the other?
I move that we allow the placement of those antennae.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And we have a second.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
No.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. We move now to public hearing number 3, the annual review and renewal of a conditional use permit application number 2019-4, and this would be through resolution 2020-6. Staff is recommending that the Planning Commission take the following action: to accept the annual review and approve renewal of a conditional use permit application number 2019-4, allowing for the operation of a group housing facility and private charitable and religious institution educational support facility at 856 South Reed Avenue, APN 368-030-65. At this time, Mr. Conrad, you Chairman have a
Hudson,
comment?
Yes, Chairman Hudson, I am going to have to recuse myself because I live within the area that is affected.
So Mr. Conrad is requesting that he be recused, and that's certainly granted. And will Ms. Moore be speaking
yes.
to these?
Okay. I'll actually be covering this one tonight, so we'll
okay.
wait for
All right. we'll wait.
Her to come back in.
I was recused one time, and it's about a 5-mile walk. Seemed like it.
We do have one planning commissioner participating tonight via phone, and we also have a live stream for anyone who's interested in listening to the audio, and a phone line for them to call in on if they have any comments that they would like to make.
And we have one commissioner who's not present.
Yeah, I heard her say, I second, I'm like, what is this? Rosemary?
Yes.
Yes. Actually, it's coming through pretty clear, isn't it?
Very clear. I thought it was.
Yeah, very, very clear. Welcome back. All right, Mr. Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. The item before us tonight is item number 3, and this is the annual review of conditional use permit 2019-4. As the commission remembers, this item on June 6th of 2019 was initially approved by this body. That approval superseded all previous approvals that had been on that site before and rolled everything into one. So we're going to go over just a little bit of the history of the project site there. So first, this pertains to an approved project that allows for the operation of a 35-person maximum group housing facility, and it also includes private charitable and religious institution educational support facility at that site as well. This is the former location of a hospital and a retirement facility. It currently serves, however, as a religious institution with the previously notated ancillary uses also on site. The site is 2.56 acres in size. The facility itself is 40,020 square feet, and it is comprised of 4 total wings. There is vehicular access to the site both off of Reed Avenue and Dinuba Avenue and 12th Street. Site does maintain full fire sprinklers. Those were certified in 2017 by our local fire chief, inspected and certified. And of course, the approved CUP that was done on June 6th of 2019 required that there be an annual review in 2020 of this item. Initially, that review was set to take place in May, so it would have been at month 11, just before the 1-year mark that the Planning Commission had taken their action on. However, because of the complications of COVID at that time, the applicant was given a 3-month extension, and so we are now back here today to have this discussion. But wanted to make sure that it was clearly understood the applicant had been absolutely following up on items, very responsive to staff and all the information there. The only reason for the delay is COVID related. Just a quick overview there of the site. As you can see, the star on the map right there shows right at the corner of Reed and Dinuba, the location, and then the picture on the right is just the overhead directly above that the facility as well. So you can see the four wings. We're going to go, we'll have a little more discussion on that here. The bordering property information, something I think is always very important to bring up. As you can see, the existing land uses are, the majority around, are residential in nature, which means that any type of facility that operates as a residential facility, or as any type of mixed use or multi-use where there might be a little more activity taking place, we always want to make sure that we're being very sensitive to the various residential uses that are adjacent, whether they be single family, multi-family, simply because where people are, there can be more of an impact, and we want to be more aware of those items and ensure that they're addressed appropriately. So CUP 2019-4 is currently approved. As we'd stated, that happened on June 6th of last year. So they are currently operating as a 35-person maximum group housing facility. That does exclude the maximum of 3 on-site property management staff that came along with that approval as well. So there is potential for there to be 38 people total if needed. They are not at that number. I don't believe even near that number at this time, but that is the allowed number. Operations of private charitable and religious institution educational support facilities also take place on site. Choice Books, I'm sure you're familiar with that. They operate on site as well. The property is owned by the Pentecostal Church of God, the Central California District. The facility itself is operated by River Harvest Church Ministries. We do have representatives of the church here tonight to answer questions as the commission may feel appropriate. Both the program director and the pastor have continually lived on site. They lived there before the CUP approval, and they have continued to live there throughout the entire year plus. Operations continue to focus on providing affordable housing units for families, couples, and single individuals. We're going to talk a little bit more about the breakdown that we'd had, of course, the single individuals. There had been discussion during the original approval of ensuring that there were not single men that were going to be congregated inside. I think it's very important to point out that has not happened. They have stayed exactly in line with the way that the Planning Commission wanted to see that. Single men are in their own separate wing that has remained consistent that way and continues so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Try that now.
There we go. Like I just said, single men are housed separately from couples, families, and single women, so they're all in their own wing. All residents have been and they will continue to be vetted through the application process and required to adhere to the facility rules and regulations. And as previously discussed, overnight visitors are not permitted within the facility, except for those, of course, that have gone through that process and are actual residents of the facility. Day-to-day operations and oversight are provided by both the on-site property manager and the executive director, who is the pastor. And complete operations have continued of the overall site in line with the approved conditional use permit. Those operations have been overseen by an advisory board or an advisory council that does include members of the adjacent neighborhood as representatives. I would want to point out that they did have 2 meetings within several months of the approval in June last year. Their January 2020 meeting did not have any attendees, so no one showed up for the meeting, even though of course it had been noticed and those items presented. And then the meetings beyond January have been postponed again due to COVID. But we do have meeting minutes that have been provided for all the meetings that have taken place. We do have the roster and have had communications with the roster members to ensure that there has been communication. And we have confirmed over time that yes, they have received that information and they are aware of the items that are taking place in the manner I believe that the Planning Commission intended for it to happen. We're just going to take a look at the four wings real quick. Again, this is what was originally presented with the CUP, and the reason why I'm bringing it back right now is so that the Planning Commission can know that the items that they had committed to have been held to, and they are operating in the manner in which it was approved. So wing A, as you can see, is a separate wing. There is no direct connection to it. That is where the single men are housed. And wing B, that's the private and charitable and religious institution educational support facilities, which sits in between the other residential uses. Wing C is where the pastor's living quarters and the church meetings are held. And wing D is where the families, couples, and single women are housed. So I'm going to follow up on just some of the specific current conditions of approval. All of them, of course, were included in Resolution 2019-6, was the approval resolution from last year. But I'm just going to touch on the ones that the Planning Commission had the most input on last year and the ones that, I know are really critical for the follow-up here. So first, the CUP itself was valid for 10 years, and it must be renewed prior to expiration in order to be continued. Occupancy has not exceeded 35 tenants, as again, that would exclude the three on-site property managers, but it has not exceeded that number or even really gotten close to that. I believe it didn't even hit 30. Pastor, please correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So they're still well below that threshold. The advisory board, including representatives from the adjacent residential neighborhood, was organized as required. They have remained active. There is some COVID delays right now, but they are still active. And then adherence and maintenance of all the application, the vetting, and the monitoring process has taken place from approval and continues to take place to this day. All building and safety regulations have been maintained in accordance with the law. We have had not only our code enforcement officer walk through, but we've also had our building official be there on, multiple instances to check in on items and to ensure that everything is still safe, being operated the way that it should. At any type of building activity, of course, is appropriate. That also would include the fire chief, as I had said, who had gone in and done the fire inspection as well, which did absolutely pass. And then one of the other big conversations that we had was the parking of the inoperable cars. That has been rectified. So all cars on site are operable. That does not necessarily mean that they may be used every single day, but the cars themselves are operable. There is not mechanic work taking place in the parking lot or anything of that nature, which had been a concern in, the past. The one item that I would want to touch on that we have received some questions on is the parking pass system. It seems to be hit and miss, and it needs to be a, bit more consistent. While I certainly don't think that that would be something that, the applicant should be told that the CUP is going to be suspended or revoked, that's the feedback that we are receiving, is that, the adjacent residents are saying sometimes we can tell a car has a parking pass and sometimes we can't. Not a huge concern, doesn't seem to have been an issue, but something that we would want to make sure the commission was aware of. You have a question, Commissioner?
Has the bus been sold?
No.
Still?
That was an eyesore.
Is the what?
That was an eyesore.
Oh, the bus.
The bus, yeah.
It is, it is operable, though. So,
it's,
I know.
And it's license and tags and running. It's just, we're not putting it in the paper because we don't want people during the COVID to come and look at it either.
Yeah, so the intent is still to sell that vehicle when the time would be appropriate.
It's off for sale sign on it, dude.
Sometime. I haven't taken
the
sign off, but
yeah.
I'm
we
not
did
advertising the paper.
Yeah, we dropped the
price. A lot of people think my car is an eyesore too, so I guess that just just seems to happen. Mine gets called a clown car all the time, but that's okay. So with all of that, staff's recommendation to the Planning Commission through Resolution 2020-6 at this time is to accept the annual review just given by staff and to approve the renewal of the conditional use permit application number 2019-4, which would allow for the continued operation of the group housing facility and the private charitable and religious institution educational support facility, all located at 856 South Reed Avenue. This would all be in line with the original approval given in June of 2019. So all of those conditions would still apply, minus one item, and that's the note you see there at the bottom. Resolution 2020-6, which would be the approval of the renewal of the CUP tonight, would no longer require an annual review. What that means is that the CUP would then be subject to the exact same standards that all other conditional use permits have. In no way, shape, or form does that take away the Planning Commission's ability to be able to review a CUP if there needs to be some type of action taken, which could include suspension, revocation, any of those type of necessary actions as the Planning Commission may deem appropriate if there are conditions of approval that are not being met. But staff's recommendation is based upon the fact that the applicant has actively addressed all of those conditions over the year, and we feel that at this time that they have met the intent that, and addressed the concerns that the Planning Commission certainly had at that time, that they've been very proactive in doing so. As such, our recommendation is to remove the requirement for the annual renewal, but all other requirements would stay exactly the same as originally approved. So with that, that concludes staff's presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Director Terry, has the police department had an opportunity to respond to any issues? at the site?
Yes, it's an excellent question. So I talked to our police chief multiple times throughout the year to ensure that there was not anything there. And the exact verbiage that he gave me was, I see no more calls for service in that area than we ever did before. So then, of course, my follow-up question was, is there a high number of calls? And the answer was no. Nothing extraordinary beyond anything that we see in any other area of the community. So there is not any public safety concern, and certainly not centric to this facility.
What kind of issues were we called upon to
Typically, the items that they will see, of course, will be someone speeding in the area, you know, a drunk driver adjacent to the area, something of that nature. So, but no direct calls for service at the facility.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Very good.
And we do have the applicant here, if there was any questions that the commission wanted to address to them, or any conversations you felt were appropriate this time.
Who would like to represent the church?
I'm the pastor.
Could we invite you to the podium and state your name and address? And
Chair, do you think it'd be necessary to swear her in?
Hermes Mills, 856 South Reed Avenue.
I'm sorry, your first name?
Hermes.
Hermes.
H-E-R-M-A-S.
Okay, H-E-R-M-A-S.
Yes.
Okay. And you're the pastor?
Yes.
Okay. Pastor, right now you have a maximum of 30-35 for the capacity. How many single men do you have now?
Six.
And couples?
One
couple.
In their 70s, late 70s.
And then how many families?
None.
And single women?
Three,
okay.
I don't project that we'll ever reach our maximum number of people because of the vetting process that we put the people through.
Okay.
You have 28 rooms right now, if I read correctly.
That's right.
I'm surprised to see the low amount of folks that you have. I was certain with some of the, I passed by there one time, you guys were having a party. I thought there was quite a few people there, so.
Probably the church services,
I think it's church services.
Under the canvas.
Under the tent.
Yeah,
similar to many of our churches in town right now because of the governor's orders,
right.
We are working with all of our churches to accommodate outdoor activities. So you certainly will see that, have seen it over the last few months, and we don't have any indication that that's going to adjust here in the near future. So likely we'll see that, I would imagine, at least the end of the calendar year.
Pastor, you talked about the vetting process and how stringent it is. And then in the comments here, it says zero tolerance is given for any violations. What kind of violations? Have you had any?
We're clean and sober. We're a clean and sober facility. So we drug test, we breathalyze. Because when they come in, they're coming into a program to get stronger in God. So they participate in ministry, and then they also have to work full-time and attend church regularly. So meeting those requirements when they come in, understanding that, does let out a number of people that would come and want to just rent a room. We don't do that. It's a program that they're coming in for.
What would attract them to come to your place? Is it the rent fee?
I'm sorry, what?
What would attract an applicant to come and live at your facility? Is it
low rent?
Low rent?
We do low rent, yes. But we also rent to people on Social Security disability. We take people in that are graduates of Teen Challenge. So those two groups make up who we bring in.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. I had a couple more. You do have a car that's on blocks out behind there. Is that?
Or is it? Oh, you mean? I don't think it's on blocks.
Is it just boarded?
Yeah, it's boarded to protect the tires. It's belongs
stolen.
To the couple that live there, and he's
okay.
Actually my security.
That's
in the
what
back.
It is, yeah, security. Yeah, there you go.
And it's a very expensive truck, from what I understand.
Okay.
It's old.
Old.
Classic.
Is it Mr. Terry's?
It's not the clown car.
Okay. And
but it does run.
It
runs.
What's your governance, or how do you guys structure your governance again? What's your who runs the facility?
Okay, I'm over it. My daughter is the director. She's
okay.
The one that does the intake. She does the breathalyzing and drug testing and.
Okay. All right.
And then you do the property management side, correct?
I'm a board member.
Okay.
Church board member. So.
Church. So the church board also oversees the program? Okay. Now there was a comment, Mr. Terry, there was a comment here about shall expire 2 years following the date of approval unless, and how does that fit in with the...
So that's if the planning commission takes action on any conditional use permit and within a 2-year period of its approval, mm-hmm. the applicant does not take any action to implement any of the items within the CUP, then the CUP itself becomes null and void.
I see.
But this of course would not apply in this instance because they did take action on those conditions of approval immediately.
Okay, so that goes back to when?
Correct.
All right.
So now it goes back to the 10-year period that the CUP would be good for. You know, we're just over 1 year into that, so they would need to go through an extension process close to that 10-year period if they wanted to continue with the CUP.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other questions from the commission?
None for me.
Planning commission?
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Why don't you stay up there? Okay, we have one here.
Yeah, sorry. Rosemary has a question. Go ahead, Rosemary.
For the applicant, what sort of concerns have the neighborhood representative have they brought up to you guys during the meetings?
The cars was one.
The cars?
Mm-hmm, the cars. And then also we had one tenant that decided to work on his car in the back parking lot there. Uh-huh. I didn't know about that. It took him 2 months to get it done. But that was addressed. I haven't had it. Now when people come in, they realize they don't work on their cars in the parking lot. That was the main thing.
I believe those were both items that would have been addressed in fall of last year, by fall of last
year,
correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We also... there was a comment made about people going out the back door, so we limited that access. I changed the locks. They can only go in through the front door off of Dinuba now. Even if you go out the door, it's still an emergency exit. You can't get back in that door. We put a fence up on the back parking lot with a sign that says, do not use this, and it's the access that goes up to the back door, so that now has a gate there that limits that. So that everybody who comes in off the Dinuba exit.
That's an excellent point. I did omit that. My apologies because there was considerable discussion on that last year, and that was the loitering on the back patio area. And so they have taken multiple actions there to limit that. And we have heard directly from members of the adjacent neighborhood that have said that is no longer an issue, that there's not a concern of that there. The elevation of the building as compared to the adjacent neighborhood is interesting in the way that raised patio area out the exit door sits just a bit higher than the fence lines of the residence. So that was something that they had noticed a lot in the past, which has now been mitigated by the applicant.
Okay. On wing A, that's the men's wing, and then wing B is the private charitable and religious institution, educational support wing. And then there's the church, and then the families, couples, and single women. What's the educational support wing? What does that explain?
That's just Christian education, Sunday school rooms.
Oh, Sunday school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions, Pete? All right, we're going to let you stay there. Are there any comments from the general public that would like to get up and speak to this issue? For or against or neutral or whatever? Here's your chance. Would you like to, Pastor, would you like to say anything further?
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
If we could, Chair, open it up to folks on the phone.
Folks on the phone.
If there's anyone, or there's anyone that's listening to the live stream.
Or the live stream.
Yeah, you can call in and provide public comment by calling area code 559-637-4200, extension 290. If someone else may be on the phone or speaking, so if you don't get back or if you don't get us, just keep calling. And thank you.
Okay, we'll wait for a little bit.
The minute is up, Chair.
We're good. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Okay, Commissioners, we have before us public hearing 3A, which is going to go through resolution 2020-6. Do I hear a motion to recommend?
I make a motion we approve.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
To approve, and we have a second.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luzania?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. Okay, it passes. Thank you for coming. You're welcome to stay and listen to the director.
You probably heard me talk enough over this last year to last
Mr.
you for a while.
Terry,
right?
You're leaving. Okay. thank you very much.
Thank you.
Best to
you.
We now have the director's report, Community Development Department updates.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. It's been since May since we have gone together, and I'm sure you've noticed between May and current, there is a considerable amount of development activity that is taking place. So we are seeing residential development moving forward for the development both phases at Reed and Aspen, the self-help side, as well as DR Horton that is building phase two of that one. Monta Vista, which is being constructed by Yanez Construction, they are now finalizing up the Almond Grove development, which they have in the central southern portion of town, and starting to mobilize their operations onto Monta Vista, which is on the corner of Haney and Button Willow, just off of Manning and Button Willow. And then, of course, the Frankwood Commons development, which is at Frankwood and South, which we had recently gone through an SOI expansion and annexation for. They are continually moving forward with that item right now. Council just had the opportunity to hear the final map associated with their phasing. So to break the larger parcel into smaller bites that'll be individually sold to the developer as he's developing each phase. So a lot of great things moving forward right now. Several hundred homes that we will see actively under construction in Reedley. More activity, I believe, than we have seen probably since the early 2000s.
Isn't that something?
It is, yeah. But grateful to see it. You know, the units are sorely needed here. And so we're just really, really grateful to see it. And they run the gamut on the units themselves, as far as entry level to mid level, and even getting up into some of the upper level homes. So really a sprinkling for all of those interested in either relocating within our community or coming into our community for the first time. Really excited to see that.
Do we want to get the?
Oh
my gosh!
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I guess we should,
yeah.
Huh?
Let me go get it. Sorry about that.
Where's Bill? Poor Bill.
I'm gonna take advantage of that.
You got it.
We'd have locked the doors and left, and he'd still be back there.
Yeah. Don't like hearing that.
John, you better get going.
It'll be done.
You still live over in Hanford? Welcome back.
That's the fourth or fifth one.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's the fourth or fifth police car. Hope everybody's okay. Just waiting for Mr. Perez to come back, and then I'll continue. Thank you. I'll start back over again on the updates on the construction. Commissioner Conrad, my apologies. We started to give my update before we had come to get you. Mr. Perez had to remind us all. It hadn't gone too far into it, though, just giving very quick updates on our residential construction that is taking place. We are seeing active construction happening on both phases at Reed and Aspen. We are also seeing active construction nearing the end of its life at the Almond Grove subdivision in South Central Reedley, just off of Frankwood Avenue, Frankwood and Olson. That is being built by Yanez Construction. They are now starting to mobilize their efforts to the Monta Vista development, which is just south of Manning and Button Willow, off of Haney and Button Willow. You will also see a city project that's going to be happening just adjacent to that development that is actually going to complete a good portion of Button Willow Avenue as well. So it'll be right next to that one. We tried to coordinate as much of those activities as we could to have minimum impact to the community and certainly to the adjacent residents there. But that corridor is going to look much, much different in, I would say, 12 to 16 months. Very much improved.
not only aesthetically, but obviously for the transportation amenities that will be there, in particular for the active transportation for the bicycle and the pedestrian. Some definite improvements that we'll see there. And then Frankwood Commons, which is the development on Frankwood and South Avenue that, that had been recommended for approval by the Planning Commission in the past and approved by the City Council. That annexation is now complete, as is the sphere of influence increase. So that developer has been moving forward with getting approval of all of their improvement plans, their various elevations for the actual homes that they'll be building. And Council just barely heard the final map for their phasing map, for their parcel map that takes the larger 40-acre parcel and breaks it down to be contiguous with their individual phase lines for their construction. So the current property owner will sell each of those parcels to the actual developer, San Joaquin Valley Homes. They will buy each phase right before they actually begin the development. So that's a good partnership that they have going there. I had stated that we'll see several hundred new rooftops over the next year and a half or so that will be in Reedley, and they run everywhere from entry-level homes up to your I would say higher mid-tier to your low higher tier in housing. So very exciting to see that because it's very much needed in our community. Also, as you guys have noticed, there are partial closures of streets that have been taking place within the city of Reedley, as well as activities that we are accommodating for businesses to utilize sidewalk space as much as they can, in particular for the restaurants, the gyms, those that were forced by governor's executive action to not be able to operate at all or required to operate outdoors. So we've been doing everything that we can to work with the businesses that are interested in doing that type of activity to help them and provide for that support. You will see more of that moving forward because we're not hearing anything else from the governor other than a continuation of certain restrictions in place. Our goal on the community development side is to provide as much flexibility as we possibly can to support our local businesses. So we also have a media campaign that we'll be starting that somewhat plays off of the Reedley Strong, but it I'm sure you may have seen the banner already in downtown. It's Reedley, Help Reedley Come Back Strong. We think that there's the three keys to that. Of course, number one is to be patient. There's a lot of items that are taking place right now that just flat require patience from everybody. This is an unprecedented item. Let's be patient. Let's support each other. Let's be really strong in that aspect. Two, of course, is to be healthy, to be conscious not only of your health, but the health of those around you as well. Be considerate of everyone's health. And then the third one is to shop local. Stay local for all the items that you possibly can and ensure that we're providing that support not only for our local businesses, but for our communities in general. A strong local economy, obviously ends up supporting each one of us individually because there's always going to be ties, whether that's the employee, the family member, whatever that might be. So a strong local economy provides that support. You will see in the downtown area some potential closures, and it's going to be not only temporary in nature, but they are not going to be full street closures. At this point, you're going to see more closures in parking stall areas. So we're going to allow some additional activities to actually take place in areas that right now are utilized as parking stalls. There will be, of course, safety infrastructure in place, such as the water barricades, similar to what you're seeing on 10th Street right now, and that had been on G Street for a little while. So you'll see similar barricades around that, and you'll see raised platforms, of course, that allow for a level, stable grounding underneath where there might be tables and chairs and canopies and things of that nature. We have several businesses in the downtown area that have expressed interest in doing that. It's a new thing for Reedley, so we have been actively working with them, but also very mindful of what that needs to mean for them too. If we're going to do anything like that, we want to make sure that we're doing it as quickly as we can, as safely as we can, and in a way that's really going to be a positive impact for them. So we've been having continued communications with them, and we'll continue to see that. But we're now getting to the point in those conversations where real activity is going to be able to take place. We had a survey out there to the community about closures, their feelings about those items. We wanted to ensure that there was going to be enough support for that. Even if we did get with the businesses, first is their interest in the closures. Second, if the closures did happen like that, would the community actually utilize those items? We wanted to make sure that was going to be helpful for the business, community. We ended up getting about 700 responses. The survey went out in both English and in Spanish. We got about 700 responses between the two of them. and a lot of great input. Really almost from day one, the very first push when we put it out, we got about 250 within just the first 3 days that it was out. And believe it or not, between the 250 and the near 700 total, the percentages changed minimally, and that was it. So we ended up getting about 75% of the respondents said that not only do they want to see that type of activity, but that they would frequent it and they would utilize it in town. And that was the most important question for us, so that we can know the assistance we're trying to give to those businesses is actually going to be impactful, and that the survey would indicate that. So in the coming weeks, you will start seeing some more of that infrastructure there. If you have any questions or concerns, you guys know exactly where to find me. So if there's anything about that, please reach out and let me know. The only way we can address items is if we're aware of it. And while we're doing everything we can to be aware of everything, it takes a lot of eyes and a lot of hands, as you guys know. So
what do you call that initiative?
So we're just simply calling it COVID Business Support. So this is one of the items that would be under the COVID Business Support Program. The units themselves are commonly referred to as parklets. So that might be something that you guys...
Parklet,
yeah. So if you were to Google that, you can actually see, you know, the various parklets that may be used, not only nationally, but even internationally. They're very popular. Mm-hmm. We are going to design them in a way that they can be placed in various locations temporarily, but they will be structurally sound enough that if a business were interested in that, that it's something that could be utilized long term as well. So we're also trying to make sure that there's that flexibility for that also.
Okay.
But again, when you start seeing those questions, concerns, feedback, please let me know so that we can make sure that we're continually addressing that. And then I wanted to point out for Reedley Family Apartments, a couple of years now, about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, we had received some additional funding through the region. We had applied for some funding to help really push that project across the finish line. Reedley Family Apartments is the affordable housing project that is on I Street in the southern portion of town. It was built, I guess it's been about a decade at this point, maybe even a little more. It's been a while.
2014, I think, was when it was built.
I guess I'm just thinking of the approval. Man, that...
Oh, yeah, that was the approval.
That took years. But they still had one final phase of that item, and they were always just under that line for the tax credit financing because it is an affordable housing item, and it seemed like they were always the next one up, and then it didn't happen. Well, finally, with the assistance of some of the regional dollars that we were able to get through a grant through the Fresno Council of Governments for their transit-oriented development item, we were able to show enough funding there that pushed them over that line. They have submitted all of their improvement plans, their site plan and everything else there. So you will see the final phase of that one now building. And again, always a need for affordable housing in our area. So that has been extremely well managed. In the time that it has been in place, there has just been a handful of issues that the management has had there, but they have addressed them very efficiently and very effectively, and they've worked very closely with the city and continue to do so. But I wanted to make sure you guys knew, because that is a multi-story building, so you will certainly notice when that one starts going up. We anticipate that we'll start seeing construction activity in the next 3 months or so, would be my guess there, because they are beginning to mobilize their items. So with that, I think those are the most critical items to get you updated on right now. But if you have any questions, comments, or concerns for me, I'd be happy to address them.
Just a comment, Director Terry. I was approached again, and this is not the right entity to approach it, but I wanted to let you folks know as well. We will probably be approaching the Recreation Department. We have a group of citizens over 50 years old that are very interested in putting together a pickle court in the city, and they approached them about 2 or 3 years ago, but there was nothing available in terms of grants and stuff like that, and I'm sure that's what we would need to go forward with that, but there's a lot of demand for it, and tournaments every weekend and evenings and lessons and so on. And there's a lot of people that are getting very much interested. It's really blowing up around the valley. And so we're going to try it again. I'll contact Sarah Reed once again and see what we can do. We can keep an eye out for a grant or whatever. And we really need a space for it. They were thinking about down by the river, that space on the right-hand side as you go down, mm-hmm, into Cricket Hall, mm-hmm, utilizing that, or... I'm sure that Emmanuel would give us a little space there to put some pickle courts in there, mm-hmm. Since they already have the lights. But that's one of the things that we discussed was the lights, you know, wouldn't be like the lights that we have for football and so mm-hmm. on. They're like the tennis courts.
Yeah, much lower profile.
A good example would be the ones that are over at Emmanuel mm-hmm. Tennis.
Right.
Okay, I'll make sure that I run that by Sarah as well, so that she awesome. Not only is expecting your call, but also knows that it's continual
great.
Interest.
Yeah, because she'll think the big wheels are moving that ahead. See if you contact her.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to do it. You know, I had heard of pickleball before, but I had never personally played it. A few weeks ago, I went to visit some of my family in Utah, and found out that some of my brother-in-laws were really big into it. So I played it for the first time in my life, and it's very fun.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It, you know, my body reminded me the next day that I'm getting older. but no, it was well, definitely enjoyable.
I don't dare try it anymore. But they say the court's 20 by 40, so it doesn't take a lot of space. There, somebody was telling me they converted some tennis courts somewhere
mm-hmm.
into 8 of those.
Absolutely, yeah.
Courts.
So. Yeah, it felt like playing like miniature, little slower paced tennis.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but they get they
on
get
some fronts, and I support what you just said. I really think this could be something for Reedley, because there is a group of guys that and ladies that like to play. It's on some fronts they say it's one of the fastest growing sports.
I can see that, yeah.
And it's you're in a small area, so it doesn't take up it's half a tennis court,
mm-hmm.
And low maintenance, so. It has a lot of advantages.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be happy to run that by Sarah and
see
what we can do to keep that conversation going for you.
Awesome.
I do have a question. In these subdivisions, when each lot is made out and sold to someone to build a house,
mm-hmm.
do all the taxes that were on that larger property be parceled out to those smaller lots? And I'm asking from the cemetery side, because that's where we get part of our income is from property tax.
Sure, yeah.
And my board wanted to make sure that we're getting our fair share from all this new activity in town.
Yeah, well, if you got people living on it, then that means that people are going to be passing away
well,
as well,
true.
Right? In your community, that's just simply the way it goes. It's the reality. Yes, it does work that way. What happens is you will have a larger piece of land that will have its assessment, of course, mm-hmm. done, and whatever the taxes are on that. When they go through a subdivision process, it is reassessed.
Okay.
And each individual lot, it is very uncommon when you have a subdivision activity like that for the assessment to end up being less for that land than it was when it was one larger piece of land, because typically the use that's associated with that has a lower tax bracket, lower tax revenue, lower tax generator. But yes, those items do, the majority of tax dollars, like that property tax, ends up going to the county and then is redivvied
okay.
out. But certainly the cemetery district does see their fair share cut of that item when it is reassessed and then paid.
So I know some cemetery districts have been trying to get impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
Like the school district gets,
mm-hmm.
but it's very hard to work with the county to get those.
Very complicated process, yeah. Yep.
And we would fight it. Those that are alive.
Those that are alive. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Mr. Terry, good report.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Moore, you've got some future agenda items?
I do. So we do not anticipate having a meeting on September 17th. The deadline to provide public notice for that has passed. And at this time, we don't have anything scheduled for October 1st. That being said, I have two potential applications. Both are conditional use permits. They have not been officially submitted yet, but it is possible that they may be submitted within the next week or two. If that is the case, then we are anticipating having a meeting on October 15th. Is there any availability, or is there anyone that would not be able to make an October 15th meeting? at this time.
Too far for my calendar, but I'm sure I'll be here.
It kind of is, yeah. Yep. Okay, but yeah, I'll keep you posted on future agenda items, as I usually do. But yeah, but at this time, the earliest meeting that we anticipate is October 15th.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, commissioners?
None for me.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Does someone?
I so move.
We have a motion to adjourn.
And a second.
And we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Meeting adjourned.